Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, I'm Callum Stoneman and welcome to another Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, our weekly show looking at the world of technology from a blind and partially sighted perspective. If you want to get in contact with us, please do. techtalk@rnib.org.uk is our email address. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, Hubert Pavalkovic takes us along to Site Village London. He's been catching up with the best of what the exhibition has to offer. I'll be getting hands-on with the Orbit Player from Orbit Research, and we'll be doing our best to answer some of those emails that have been coming in. We've got a full house again this week. Hubert Pavalkovic, Jackie Brown, and Natalie Curran. Let's see what's been going on with everyone. Hubert, what have you got this week?
Well, speaking of Site Village, I did go along, as mentioned, and I accidentally spent some money, unintentionally honest.
That contactless is a nightmare, isn't it?
Well, I mean, especially when it does it on its own without me wanting it to, honestly. I don't understand. Yeah. And receipts emails come into my emails also accidentally. Anyway, I've been looking at Braille displays. So I've got my trusty Mantis Q40, which is brilliant. I love it. It's very good in the office setup. But I've been to a few, you know, places recently where, unless I have, you know, a set table to work at, or for example, I want to come as minimalistic with as little bags as possible, the Mantis Q40 simply isn't for that. And what I was looking at is a more portable Braille display. Smaller, maybe, you know, only 20 cells, so reading is a bit different. But the point is, I want something that can chuck in one bag with my recorder and not have to carry two or three bags just because I'm, you know, bringing along my Mantis Q40, which is a great office Braille display. So I have purchased a 20-cell Braille display. I've gone for the Humanware Brilliant by 20, which arrived in the post yesterday, and I got to set it up. And yes, I need to learn how to use a Braille keyboard with two additional keys. So that's going to be a learning curve for me. But really liking it so far.
What are the two additional keys, Hubert?
It's got the two Braille keys alongside the 6-dot keys, which I've never used before on a Braille display. So,
yeah, 8-dot Braille, I never understood that.
Yeah, to me that's still a bit of a new thing to get used to.
Well, see, I did use 8-dot Braille when doing maths at master's level. Well, actually, I think it's I started at university level, because it meant I could program so many more shortcuts into to access some of the more obscure characters when using Unicode. But I, on the Braille Note Apex, which is what I was using, it was just the backspace and enter keys that became the 7 and 8 dots.
That's what it'll be on the Brilliant as well. Dot 8 is enter, dot 7 is your backspace. Yeah, it's a nice little display, actually.
Well, I like it because it's small, so I can put it in the same bag as the recorder. Instead of going to an event with two bags or three, I can go with one. And it's just a lot easier because you can hold it in your hand easily, access the notes. It is a lot simpler, and that's, for me, what I really wanted. And I've also purchased, it doesn't end here, I've purchased an Orbit Writer as well after taking a look at it at Site Village, which is basically kind of similar to the Hable 1, but a bit of a different variant because it has the standard Perkins Braille keyboard, you can refer to it as, rather than kind of the keys being laid out as a 6-dot dice face or aspect. So it'll be an interesting comparison because there are a few things that attracted me in the Orbit Writer, including the ability to connect it to 5 devices, having a kind of standard navigation joystick keypad with a confirm slash enter button and the arrow keys, the 4 arrow keys, which I think is quite nice. I still love my Hable 1 and still use it quite a lot, and I don't think I'll, you know, stop using it, but I liked the Orbit Writer as well. So yeah, that's kind of my week.
It is a nice machine. You can actually put it around your neck as well, because it comes with a nice long strap, and you can put it around your neck. So you might think, why would you do that? But if you're holding a dog or you've got a cane, it's, you know, you can wear it on your person, and then you've always got that ability to take a note down or something like that. Obviously, you'd have to let go of your cane and your dog to do so. But it means that you can. It's light enough and small enough that you could carry it round your neck, and it's very easy to whip out and have a note on it or something.
I'd like to hear how you get on with the brilliant, because I was really taken with it when I saw it at, I remember if it was Sight Village Glasgow or some event that was in Glasgow. I think it might have been back in July. And I was taken aback myself by how much I really liked it. And I was like, I don't actually need it, but I really like it.
What you might quite like as well is that the Brilliant and the Mantis seem to be from kind of the same product family. So when software updates and new features or new keyboard shortcuts or whatever come in, it tends to go across both of them, the Mantis and the Brilliant range. So very nice. Yeah, let us know how you got on with both of those. Jackie, what have you got?
I was in the office in Belfast a couple of weeks ago doing some video promos with Joe Kenny and for the Tech Fair 26, more of which we will be discussing. But Joe handed me, he said, I want you to put on this little microphone. He was sitting beside me with one on his person, and he gave me this tiny little microphone. And it's got a magnet on the back of it. They are small, so you'd have to be really careful not to lose them. But you put the microphone part on the outside of your clothing and the magnet on the inside, and it really does clamp together. So you've got hands free once you do this. You've got a little dongle that you plug into your phone. So it can be a lightning if you've got a lightning cable exit on your phone and or a USB-C. So, and then you go into the app of your choice, where there are several recording apps. There is Apple's own voice memos. There is just press record. There's rec up memos. There's all sorts of recording apps out there. But if you go into one of your choice and you can just press the record button, these little microphones are just there. They're plug and play. You don't have to install anything. And they really do sound quite good. And it just means that if you are in a room where you want your phone somewhere else, or your phone has to be somewhere else, and you are sitting at a table with another person, you can wear one of these each. You get two in the box, and they are called Hollyland Lark A1 microphones. And the Hollyland is S HOLLYLAND, then new word Lark, LARK, new word A1. And they're around 50 quid. And in the box, you get two microphones and you get two dongles. If you go for two dongles, you can just choose the Lightning one if you prefer it, or the USB-C one if you prefer that. I just went for I ended up buying these, and they're about 50 quid. And you put them in the case like you do your AirPods, and you just charge the case to charge the microphones. They've got good battery life, and yeah, I was really impressed with these.
Interesting. Again, I'm thinking for, we've been talking about Sight Village. Could these be good for recording at those sort of events then?
Exactly. Yeah. And they are plug and play. So there is an app. If you want to download the app, there is an app. It's called Holly Audio. Personally, I had a look at the app, but I decided I wouldn't be using it. You can do things like change the equalizer and all that kind of stuff in there, and there are Bluetooth settings. But personally, you can live without the app at all. You just have to plug in the dongle and just go to your recording app of choice, and it just picks them up. It just works. It's brilliant.
Very nice. Yeah, definitely check those out if you're in the market for a new microphone or a new setup. Natalie, anything new from you this week?
Yeah, well, new-ish, because I have come across it before. So yesterday I went to theatre. It was, believe it or not, a Christmas present from last year, to go see an audio described version of Hamilton. And if anybody's done audio description in theatre, unfortunately it doesn't happen nearly often enough, but that's a separate issue, is they've switched, or they seem to be switching, from a headset that would typically go over your head with the big padded sponges that then go over your ears. They're switching from those to sort of earbuds that are bigger than your normal in-ear earphones, as they're called. So a bit bigger than that, but same principle. And they dangle from your ears to a little device. And the idea is that the device sort of rests on your chest or your tummy, depending on how short or tall you are. And for me, the logic stops there. I absolutely hate them. I don't like things going in my ears. You can't adjust the sort of straps as you wear. It's a fixed length. So for some reason, I can't seem to get it to rest on my chest and get a good signal at the same time. I seem to have it dangling, in which case it's not only uncomfortable in my ears are then bearing the weight. I had them the first time down in London, and I thought, I really hope this is a pilot. That was a number of years ago, and I had the same thing in Glasgow yesterday and thought, oh no, I think this is a new invention that everybody's seizing onto. And I kind of wanted to know what everybody's thoughts were on it. And also to let people know that if you're like me and you hate this setup, they do usually have an alternative where you can sort of take the box type thing, the device that actually does the transmission and has the volume controls, etc., on it, and plug in your own earphones. So that's what I do, and I find it 10 times more comfortable.
It's just a standard kind of headphone jack, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But I wanted to know if any of you guys had come across the same thing and what you thought of it.
Haven't, but I wouldn't want anything in my ears either. I don't own any earbuds, in-ear things. I've never liked them, and I just prefer on-ear or over-ear. And the aftershocks, I think they're just called shocks now. I've got a little pair of those that actually hang over the ear, and they're bone conduction, and they sit in front of the ear. I do not like in ear at all. So that setup that you've described, Natalie, it wouldn't appeal to me at all.
No.
For me, I mean, I've not done theatres for a while, but I do go to the cinema every now and again. I don't understand why we've still got this little kind of, what is it, infrared or like a radio type box where, yeah, okay, you've got your audio description, but good luck getting a signal, or you've got this kind of static over it. And there are companies, I think we've spoke to them a few times before, I can't remember the name of them now, but there's some companies trying to do it by using apps instead, so you can just do it on your phone. Obviously, wouldn't work for everyone, but I always just find getting the signal is the problem, or if you do get a signal and just being able to hear it clear, that's always my issue.
I have to say, fortunately, this setup does only seem to be in theatres. It's not in cinemas yet, from what I can tell. I agree with you on the signal point, but that's the thing with this setup is the signal isn't any better. So you could still find yourself sitting at funny angles, like I say, with the box dangling from your ears, which doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I had to sit with my head right back once, like just staring at the ceiling for the entire film, like unnaturally right back. My wife, well, my girlfriend at the time, it was one of our quite early dates as well, which didn't help. She was like, "What are you doing?" I said, "This is the only way I can get a signal."
I'm admiring the view.
I just love the lights. What can I say?
So yeah, if you're going to the theatre and you're like me, you don't like in-ear earphones, then bring a set of your own with a standard earphone jack, and you should be able to get an alternative version.
Well, a fairly quick one from me this week. That once again, the Apple Viz website has had a couple of updates. The most notable one, they are currently testing out Co-Browse, which we spoke about before from InnoSearch, so you can ask. This is like an AI service that can take actions for you within the. It only works within the browser and within that site, but you could say to it, you know, what are the most recent posts or what posts are trending, and it will read those out, and you can say things like, you know, take me to the post on the new AirPods, for example, and it will click that link for you and take you to it and summarize the page, all that kind of stuff. And they've also added language translation. Now, this is AI based language translation. The primary website for the site is still English, but you can go on there, and if you're kind of, if you want to read something in a different language, if English is your second language maybe, then there's a little widget now towards the top of the site where you can go on there and get a AI generated, again, just to caveat that, they do say it might not be 100% accurate, but yeah, you can access that content in a different language now. So a couple of nice little updates there. I think this is probably the benefit of them having this Be My Eyes kind of ownership now. They've got a lot more funding to do this sort of thing.
I think AI translation is becoming more of a thing. I suppose, like anything, it's good to a point. I suppose it's, would you rather have a not 100% accurate version that's easier to read, or no version at all? Is probably where they're going with that, and it's only going to get better. So I think that sounds really interesting.
I think that's kind of where they're going as well. Their way of thinking is, at the minute, it's only English, so we'll kind of give people this, try it out. It's better than not having it at all. I mean, I only speak English, so I can't really say how good this is, but I do know that, like you said, it's getting better. I know someone who had an experience with Google Translate many, many years ago. We're talking at least 10 years ago, if not more, where they were going to Spain over the New Year period. So they looked up what Happy New Year was in Spanish, and Google Translate came up with it. They just took that as, you know, that's what it was. It had actually, they found out from a friend of theirs that speaks Spanish, it had come back with a result that I can't say on air. But they got some very interesting looks when they went around Spain saying that to a couple of people. But now it has improved now. So if that's of interest to you, then check that out on appleviz.com. Well, another busy week, as always. Cheers, guys. Stick with us. This is Tech Talk.
Here at Site Village London. I'm currently at the Humanware stand, joined by Andrew Flatros. Andrew, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me. Well, thank you for letting me be there.
So you've got some new products here on the stand. Can you tell us some of your new highlights you've got for the last few months?
Certainly. Well, we've certainly got a new software that's been pushed out over the last few months. Software through Braille Display, software through our Monarch, which is our multi-line tactile display. In terms of new products, we have got an upcoming new product. I'll save to last, if that's okay. But in the meantime, what I'll do, I'll explain some of the displays that we have. So we have our Mantis QWERTY 40, predominantly a Braille display that will connect with your screen readers and iPhones. And of course, it has onboard applications. So you're able to use an editor, you're able to download books from libraries. And of course, you can transfer data to the device to an SD card. That's the Mantis Q40, a QWERTY keyboard input. We also then have a Brilliant BI X40, which very much similar in terms of applications, but a Braille keyboard. So you have a choice. If you're a QWERTY user, the QWERTY 40, Mantis QWERTY 40 is a perfect tool. Or if you prefer to type in Braille, the Brilliant BI 40X would also make sense for you if you predominantly like to Braille in your writing. We then have a smaller version of the 40X called the 20X. Again, similar functions, connected to screen readers, onboard applications, but again, it's a 20 cell portable device. From that, we then have our Braille Note Touch Plus, my first note taker. So you may have heard the Braille Note Touch Plus. We have recently repositioned this as a my first note taker, and it's basically used for a learning tool. So it's ideally for someone who wants to get introduced to a first note taker, start writing Word documents, going into your emails if need be. But the idea is that it doesn't really utilize the applications, the third-party applications. Although you can, we're not pushing that because obviously it's on an outdated Android operating system, but it's great for Keysoft core functionality, a Braille editor, Victor Reader, word processor, and so forth. Coming after that then, of course, there'd be questions about, well, what's happening then to the Braille Note Touch Plus? We have been working on a new Braille Note. And the new Brown Note will be expected to be released early next year. That we have on show today is called the Brown Note Evolve. And this will be based on a Windows 11 Pro platform. Over the years, we've been hearing many, many talks about and feedback about Android's very limited, and it is. So we are now repositioning or redefining what a note taker is, not giving you any limitations. That's what Android gave you. Now we're in the Windows environment, you have the freedom to do what you want and when you want. So you have access to all the Microsoft Store applications, you have access to Office 365. You can do a lot more functions on here than what you could have done with the previous Brown Notes. The twist is, though, we have our NVDA or Keysoft powered by NVDA. So those that are used to the Brown Notes, predecessors of the Apex Brown Notes, there will be a flavor of that Keysoft feel. So don't be afraid, you don't need to install any screen readers, although you can. We have our onboard Keysoft powered by NVDA flavor that will make it a lot more easier and productive to use, not just through navigation, but also through applications such as Word, PowerPoint, Excel, through our own HumanWare add-ons to make using those apps more efficient and productive.
Can you share some highlights in your latest software updates? Are there any particular highlights, standout highlights?
So we do have one software update that's coming soon on the Braille and Semantis. The highlights of that one, there's probably two highlights. So for the Braille BR40X, we're finally allowing to use the microphone, believe it or not. So the microphone's been on the Braille BR40X for 5 years since it's released, but it's never been active. So now we're actually introducing a key recorder, allowing you to make recordings and play them back. And the other piece is learning tables. So we're kind of changing some of the way that the Braille tables are structured. So we're going by languages, but then we've also introduced the Braille learning tables, like your Takeoff series, Mangold, Finger series, things like that. So we've added some small functionalities there as well amongst all of the Braille displays, the Mantis, the BR20 and the BI40X.
Fantastic. Andrew Flatress from HumanWare, thank you very much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
And I'm currently at the Synaptic stand, joined by Mary McMahon. Mary, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, good to be here.
So can you tell us a little bit about Synaptic and what you guys do?
Synaptic, we've developed a specific system for people who are blind or partially sighted, really to make mainstream technology accessible. So we've developed software that works on standard mobile phones and tablets, and we've now also just brought out our own smartwatch.
So what devices does your smartphone software support? What sort of smartphones are you able to install the software on?
So it works on Android smartphones. Now we tend to use Samsung devices because they are, you know, well known and they're also very well developed. But you can use it on other Android devices as well.
So how does it work? Do you sell phones pre-installed with Synaptic, or can someone buy a smartphone and then come to you to install it? How does it work?
Either option, really. Most people come to us and we advise them on the different models of phone that we do, and we ask them what kind of things they would normally use their phone for, and then advise them, you know, what would be a good fit for them. And then we pre-install Synaptic. We also satisfy their options as well. So if they want their Gmail set up, if they want certain apps put on the device, we can set all of that up and then we send that out to them. Some people do buy their own device and then we can also sell the software separately. So then they can install it themselves or they can get our help to install it.
Now you also have your watches here, which have been quite popular. Can you tell us a little bit about what they are?
We've developed our new smartwatches. They work on a very similar principle to the Synaptic software on our phones and tablets. They work on very clear, very bright menu systems. Everything speaks to you on the screen, so you can scroll through a menu. You can select that menu and it'll always read out what's on the screen. We have two different smartwatches. We have a light version, which is a basic version, and that is basically for telling the time for setting alarms and, you know, timers. But we also do a Plus version, and we've just brought out version 2 of our Plus smartwatch. And basically what we've done is added some voice control to that, so that you can do things like, say, call Bob, and it'll automatically call someone from your contacts in your phone, or in your watch, sorry. Or we've also added like a chatbot, which works in a similar way to Alexa, so you can ask questions and get information through that as well.
Does it have like health tracking features, or is it more kind of an assistance tool?
It also has health features as well, so you can set health goals, you can track your steps, you can track your heart rate. Again, it all works by reading everything out.
Does it need to be used in conjunction with a phone, or can it be used as a standalone device?
At the moment, it's used as a standalone device, so it's got its own smart SIM card in the watch itself, so that enables you to still make calls and texts just on the watch, and you don't need a phone.
Are there plans to use them in conjunction with a smartphone, or is that not the plan at the moment?
We are looking to develop other features for the smartphone, so that might be a possibility in future.
What are the prices of your smartwatches?
So the basic watch, which is the Lite, that is $149, and then the Plus watch is $299.
And if people would like to purchase one of your watches, or maybe find out more about your phones, how can they contact you?
Okay, so we do have a website, www.synaptic.com. You can call us on 0191 909 7909, or you can email us just for general inquiry at sales@synaptic.com.
Mary McMahon from Synaptic, thank you very much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
We've had an email come in from Nigel, who says, "Hello team, I've decided I'd like to get a smartphone. Could you recommend a phone that would be good for someone who is severely visually impaired and also has very limited manual dexterity due to suffering with Parkinson's disease? Have any of you got any ideas on this one?" So the first thing that jumped to my mind was the RealSam phone, but I don't know if you guys have got any other suggestions.
That's the one I thought of as well. I thought that would be the best fit, because I've not heard of many others.
There is a blind shell, of course, but because it has button, that's why I'm thinking about that. But it depends whether that would be manageable. There is the blind shell classic, and the other one is the Smart Vision, Capti Smart Vision. But again, that's a bit of a hybrid, and I don't know whether that would be any good or not. But certainly the in your pocket, the RealSam, yeah.
I say, sounding like a broken record here, I'd always default to iPhone, and I did have an explore of the settings when we got this email in. And you can, although it's when you have voiceover on or magnification on, you do have all the different gestures. Well, for one thing, you don't have to use them. You can also turn on assistive touch, so you know it gives you more of a chance to activate things. And as well, and I know because I've tried this before myself, you can have voice control on at the same time, though you do need to wear headphones or earphones with it. Otherwise, voice control starts listening to voiceover and it gets very interesting.
Yes. Yeah, the voice control on the iPhone is pretty interesting, because it does allow you to not only do certain actions, you know, like click home and or tap, I guess, tap home, tap messages, tap compose, all that. But you can always do the voiceover gestures as well. So if you need to do a flick to the left or the right for some reason, I think the default command is like voiceover flick left and voiceover flick right, but you can change that to make it a bit less wordy. So there's that option, but I don't know how much with that, how much control you've got. I mean, with it being Apple, I would assume quite a lot, but I don't know how useful that would be. But
that's the other thing. I don't know about RealSAM or Blindtrail, which Jackie mentioned. But with, and I don't know where, obviously, Nigel lives. But the advantage with Apple is you can usually go into a store and they tend to be very good at letting you have a proper play.
Yeah.
And really get a sense for yourself if this is a viable option for you. I don't know about the others, how much of an opportunity you get to do that.
For me, I think with voice control on the iPhone, I think I wish with, if I mean, I say this every time when it comes to AI, I wish with Siri and voice control and AI, I think you can combine the two to make them more intuitive, because I think voice control at the moment is a little bit clunky and a little bit tricky. You have to remember so many different commands that I just kind of wish, you know, the few systems on the Apple devices would collaborate to make for a more co-brow style voice control, if you see that. Well, I mean, I think that'd be really interesting, because at the moment I find voice control really tricky to use, and I've tried teaching it when I used to do technology training to potential customers, and I have to say it just, a lot of people struggled with it because it wasn't intuitive, the commands were tricky. So I think although it is an option, it's one that requires certainly a lot of practice and is not as intuitive as it can be if all the modern technologies were applied and collaborated.
Yeah, so the one that I would check out in the first instance is the RealSAM in your pocket phone, or I think it might just be called the RealSAM Pocket now. But that's a phone, very briefly, that is a phone that can be pretty much, I think, fully operated by voice. I think you might be able to use the gestures as well, but someone correct me if I'm wrong on that. But it's basically a fully voice activated phone. And that does have quite a lot of, again, not something I've got hands on with, but that does have quite a lot of good reviews. So if you do struggle with buttons and gestures, that might be worth looking into. So I hope that helps, Nigel. Keep us posted with how you get on. Kim has also emailed in. She says, "Hello all, I have a couple of queries. I have a second generation iPhone SE, and I'm also using the Hable 1, and I'm having trouble answering and ending phone calls." She says she has tried the gestures that are described in the Hable 1 documentation, but neither of them seem to work. There is another part to this as well, another question, but we'll just go to that one for a second. Hubert, I know you use the Hable. Have you got any ideas?
Yes, and just before we did this recording, I've actually tried this out. So I use my Hable 1 with my iPhone 15 Pro, and I found that if you get a call, pressing and holding .3 on the Hable 1 will answer the call and end it. So you press it for as long as until you hear the vibration of the device, and then it will answer a call. And if you do that again, it will hang up the call. That's at least what I had on my end. I've not seen any other way of doing it, but after trying that, this seems to have worked for me.
Okay, so that might be worth a go then, holding down .3, because there is a, I have a feeling either .2 or .3 is the magic tap gesture, so the two finger double tap, and it replicates that. So either one of them two, if you haven't already, might be worth a try, but yeah, .3 does seem to be the more consistent one, I think.
And that's maybe worth mentioning as well, if you are using iPhone directly without the Hable for whatever reason, that two finger double tap should end a call. It's also worth maybe noting that the focus normally when a call starts jumps straight to the answer call button, so you can just double tap in your own screen. And to end it, if you four finger single tap near the bottom of the screen, that's where the end button always sits. But like I say, two finger double tap will start and end a call. And actually, we were all discussing just before this call that there's a setting on iPhone that says you can press the lock button to end a call. I haven't found that work for me. So it might be an iPhone generation thing. Don't know what everybody else's experience is of that.
It doesn't work. There's a setting in the accessibility settings that says prevent lock button from ending the call. So that means it would stop. This is confusing. So that means if that setting is turned on, then that means the lock button won't end the call, so you want to make sure that's turned off. Yeah, I know, bear with me. But It's never worked for me, and there's a few people on AppleVis saying that it doesn't work. So I had a 13 Pro. I've now got a 16e. It's never worked on either of those phones. But for some people it does. So I don't know what's going on there, but maybe try that as well, and then you can just tap. The idea is that you can just tap your lock button and the call will end, but your mileage may vary. I wouldn't be too surprised if it doesn't work. So I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, that is another option that could be worth a try. Just on the Hable one as well, Kim says, it's been a game changer as I really struggle with the gestures. So very good. Glad to hear you're getting on well with that.
I love it on the train, especially when you're wearing all sorts of winter gear at the moment, winter jackets and all that. It's difficult to get to your phone in your pocket when you're sitting there, but you can just quickly take out the Hable one when you're wearing headphones. It's fantastic.
Kim also asks, has anyone used the Just Eat app, and do we know how accessible it is?
Yes.
Far too often.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
In my experience, it's the most successful of the standards delivery apps. I think when I first entered into that world, I tried Just Eat, Deliveroo, and I can't remember if I tried Uber Eats or if I drew the line at Uber Eats. I've got a feeling that one was a bit of a non-starter for me. Deliveroo, I was able to window shop, so I could look at all the options and add them to my basket, but couldn't actually find the basket to then buy them. And Just Eat has remained the most consistently accessible one of the lot. And I think for various reasons, I'm best just having one that I'm able to access.
There is one little issue I've noticed with Just Eat, and it's inconsistent. It happens and it doesn't sometimes. When you're browsing menus and you're swiping through the options rather than just scrolling and then moving your finger around the screen, sometimes the app might crash.
Yeah.
And it kind of crashes in stages where it stops responding. You then go to your home screen, you then open it back up, and then it crashes properly, and then you can reopen it. It's all a bit strange, but yes, in the menu, sometimes it can stop responding, which is worth keeping in mind. It doesn't happen to me all the time, but I have had it.
I think that they might have resolved that issue here, because it was happening quite consistently for a while, and I don't think I've seen it happen the last couple of times. But equally, I have been a lot slower and more tentative, which is why I did say it's been the most consistently accessible, not the most accessible.
Yeah, they do seem to be up and down. So I've had that issue with Just Eat as well. I did actually get a takeaway a couple of weeks ago with family, and Just Eat did actually work all right. So yeah, I think it's pretty safe to give it a go. If you are having problems, try exploring by touch though, if you can. I know you use the Hable, which kind of replicates the swipe gestures. But if you can just sort of explore by touch a bit, just drag your finger around the screen if you're struggling, that might be the way to go. I do use Deliveroo as well, and that's got a lot better nowadays. So if you are struggling with Just Eat, then Deliveroo might be worth a shot as well. So thanks for getting in touch, Kim. Hope that helps. We recently spoke to Venkatesh Chari from Orbit Research all about their new Orbit Player that they recently released. So this is the book player and multimedia player from them. It has a number of apps and a number of features, which we spoke about in the interview, but I'll also be covering here as well. And following that conversation, they very kindly sent me one to review. So just to be transparent, they did send me this, but they haven't heard my thoughts on it in advance, and they haven't tried to influence what I'm going to say in any way. So I've been playing with this for about a month or so, and I'll be honest, as somebody who's not really used these book players, you know, Daisy players before, such as the Victor Reader or the Sense player, those sorts of devices, I wasn't really sure what to expect, because I've always been one of these people who, well, you know, you can just use your phone for that. You can just use Audible for your audiobooks and or Easy Reader or whatever and get them on your phone, and then you've got everything else there as well. But actually, it is quite nice having a dedicated device just for that. You know, I'm not much of a reader, but this does support podcasts as well. So you can, you know, sit back and listen to a podcast and just, you don't have all the noise of your phone, you know, all the additional notifications going on, pinging away, and just the some of the complexity, I guess, that can come with that, you know, getting into the apps and finding what you're looking for and playing it, but then that being interrupted by something else. And, you know, this is actually pretty nice. So I'm going to do this in a couple of different parts, really. So in this particular demo, I'm just going to give you a description of the device, and I'll just give you a bit of a tour of the home screen and some of the apps that you've got. And overall, I've been really impressed with this, but I have found a few glitches, a few things that could be better, in my opinion, could be worked on. But I will talk through these as we go, both in this little demo and the other ones that we're going to do as well. So to give you a physical description of the device, it's really light, really thin. It reminds me of, if you picture a TV remote, a very small TV remote control, that's very similar to what this is. In fact, it is pretty much what it feels like, really. A very thin TV remote. Or if you use one of those phones with physical buttons, I haven't got hands-on with the Blind Shell, for example, but I remember the good old Nokia phones with your navigation pad and your, you know, your arrow keys and your keypad. That's kind of what it feels like. So really nice, really portable, can easily fit into to your pocket. At the very top of the device, kind of the top middle, if you like, you've got your standard navigation pad. So you've got up, down, left and right arrows with a select button in the middle. And each one of those arrows has a little tactile dot on it as well, so you can really easily locate them. Obviously, they point in the direction that they go as well. So up arrow is kind of pointing upwards, down arrow is kind of pointing downwards, etc. And around these buttons, so to the left and right of the up arrow and the left and right of the down arrow, you've got four buttons, again, each with tactile dots. So the top left is the menu button. And this brings up, throughout the player, there are context menus available, so additional options that you can select, and in some cases, some shortcuts. The top right button is a record button, because this does also have a voice recorder functionality. So this can work alongside other key combinations. So you might press, for example, the menu and record key will read your battery level. But as a kind of standalone button, if you tap it once, that will launch the voice recorder application. And if you press and hold it, you can do either of these from anywhere in the player. If you press and hold it, that will instantly start a recording. So that's a very nice way if you want to take a quick note or you want to take a quick recording of something. Just grab your Orbit player, press and hold that button, and it will start recording. So very nice. On the bottom left of the arrow keys is the home button. And as it suggests, that just takes you home. So from wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that will take you back to the home screen, the main menu. And then on the right of the arrow keys is the back button. So the home key will just jump you straight back to the home screen of the products. The back key will just take you back one step. Coming down from that, you've got a tiny little kind of strip to separate the arrow keys from the keypad. And then you've got your standard telephone style keypad. So 1, 2, 3, then the next row you've got 4, 5, 6, and there's a tactile dot on the 5. Coming down from that, you've got 7, 8, and 9, and then you've got *0 and the hash key. And then coming down from that towards the bottom of the device is the grills for the speaker and the microphone. Coming around to the side, then again starting from the top, on the left-hand side of the device, you've got a USB-C port for charging, and you've also got an SD card slot. So this does have internal storage. I think it's 16 gig that it's got there, but you can expand that, so you can put an SD card in, and it supports SD cards up to 2 terabytes. So There's a lot that you could have on there. And there's nothing else on that side. There's just your USB-C port for charging or for connecting to a computer to transfer your files onto it. And there's that SD card slot. On the right-hand side of the device, you've got a power button, which is slightly, very slightly indented, but it has, again, got a tactile dot, so really easy to identify. And then you've also got your volume buttons, so your up and down volume buttons, and they're really tactile as well. They've got a tactile arrow going up or down, and it's like your, it's your traditional kind of rocker volume switch. And that's all there is on the right hand side. And on the very top surface of the device, there is a 3.5mm headphone jack for plugging in headphones or for plugging in a speaker. And this does also have Bluetooth, so you can connect to Bluetooth headphones or a Bluetooth speaker as well. And then on the back of the device, if you turn it upside down, there is some print. I assume that's the Orbit logo and the serial number. And then there's your battery compartment. So this does have a user replaceable battery. So you can simply slide that little compartment off, take the battery out and put a new one in. And I assume you can contact Orbit Research or your local distributor to get a battery for it. But you don't have to send it off if there is a battery issue. It's just user replaceable, which again is very nice. And that's what we've got. So quite a simple device. What I quite like is when you power the device on, so to power it on, you hold down that power button for about 2 or 3 seconds and the device will vibrate. Now it does take a while to start up. Well, I'll say a while, probably about a minute to boot up initially, which maybe a little bit more, but which doesn't sound long. But when you're kind of sat there waiting for it, it can feel like quite a bit. But what I quite like is that you hold in that power button, it vibrates, you then release the power button, and you will get a series of vibrations as it boots up. So it will keep vibrating, and as it gets closer to being fully started up, those vibrations will get shorter and more frequent. So although it takes a little bit of a while, you know that something's happening, you know it's doing something. So I really like that. And then once you start it up, you're straight onto the home screen. And this is something that I think Orbit could improve on a little bit. There isn't really a setup process as such, or even a tutorial. There is a tutorial built into the device, which I'll come to in a minute. And there is a user guide available, which is really good. But when you first get this device, it doesn't take you through any setup. It doesn't take you through, you know, here's how you connect it to Wi-Fi, or here's what all the buttons are, here's what they do. It just jumps you straight to the home screen. Now, I guess they've done that for simplicity, but in my opinion, a little basic tutorial would be nice that pops up, you know, maybe just describes the layout, describes some of the shortcuts that you might want to use, but that's something that could be added and may be added in the future. Once the device is powered on, you can press and hold that power button to get the options to shut down or restart. Or if you just tap the power button and just hold it for maybe half a second, that will put the device into sleep mode. And if you're going to be using this frequently, I would definitely recommend doing that, because if you shut it down and then start it up again, as I said, it can take a bit of a while, and you jump back to the start, you jump back to the home screen. When you put it in sleep mode, it wakes up instantly and takes you back to where you were and what you were doing last and whatever you were playing last. So would definitely recommend, much like with your smartphone, definitely recommend standby most of the time unless you're trying to save battery. And I'll just show you how quick that is as well, because I've already booted mine up. So mine's in sleep mode at the minute. I'm just going to tap that power button.
Home book reader 19.
And it's straight up. It's brought me straight to the home screen. Tap it again. It'll go to sleep. So you get a vibration and you get that little tone as well to let you know that it's going to sleep. Tap the power button again.
Home, book reader, 1-9.
So it takes not more than a second, really, to pop up from that standby mode. So that's how that works. So let's go through the home screen then. So the first app that you heard there is the book reader. That's the first app that we've got. If we have a scroll through, because you heard there was 9 items on here.
Braille reader, 2 of 9.
So Braille reader, this is something they added quite recently, actually. The Braille reader allows you to... So the book reader is intended for Daisy books or audiobooks or kind of standard documents, I guess. Text documents, Word documents, PDFs. It can read all those for you as well. Obviously, depending on the accessibility of the document itself. The Braille reader allows you to add BRF files onto this and it will read the BRF file to you. You do have to select the Braille table that you want to use, and that's a separate option in the settings. But as long as the Braille table is set to match the BRF file, it can read those to you as well. So that does a really good job. Again, if we go down.
Media player, 3 of 9.
Media player. So that's where you can add things like music to this if you wanted to.
Internet radio, 4 of 9.
There's an internet radio app there, so you can listen to different radio stations. No R&IB Connect radio on there, though, from what I can find. That needs sorting out, doesn't it? This does also have... So this is the internet radio. This does also have an FM radio as well, but that's not available at the time of this recording. I did contact Orbit to ask how I could find that, and they said, although it's in the product, it's not actually available yet, and it will be coming in a software update that's planned for early 2026. So hopefully, I don't know how long I'll have this device for, because they do want it back, but hopefully we'll be able to give you more on that as it becomes available, because of course the FM radio may be of benefit for some users, particularly if the station that you want isn't on the internet radio directory, which, to be fair, there is a lot of stations on there, but as we've just seen with R&IB Connect Radio, there may be some that are missing. So that's internet radio.
Podcasts, 5 of 9.
Podcasts, so you can get your podcasts on this. You can search for podcasts. You can follow podcasts, so it will notify you when there's new episodes available. And that's something that we'll cover in more detail in a later demo. But that's a really nice podcasting app that's built into there. And you can also download episodes. You can either stream episodes or you can download them for offline listening.
Voice recorder, 6 of 9.
The voice recorder, as I mentioned before, so that's where you can start recordings. So you can do recordings manually. And then you can also play and view the recordings that you've made in there as well.
Utilities submenu, 7 of 9. Use the right arrow to open and left arrow to close.
So that's the utilities menu, and that's actually a submenu. And you heard that hint there as well of press right arrow to open the menu. The hints across the device are really, really good. So it's very... you can turn these off, but it is very good at telling you what you need to do, what you need to press, how to navigate, and things like that. So I'll take you into the utilities submenu, actually, because there's a few nice things in here.
Check battery status, 1 of 9.
Now, there are shortcuts across the system for this, but that's where you can check your battery status.
Check current time, 2 of 9.
Again, there's a shortcut for that as well.
Check current date, 3 of 9. File manager, 4 of 9.
Now, this is where you can manage your files. You do have access to the entire folder structure within the book player and media player and things like that. So if you've got a book, for example, that's ended up in the media folder for whatever reason, that's not a big deal. You can still get to it from the book reader and play it that way. But this is where you can just manage your files. So you can move files around, delete them, rename them, I think. It's basically a fully fledged file manager, pretty much.
Calculator, 5 of 9.
You've got a little calculator in here that you type into using your keypad.
Calendar, 6 of 9.
There's a calendar.
Alarm clock, 7 of 9.
You can set alarms on this.
Contacts, 8 of 9.
Contacts.
Format SD card, 9 of 9.
And if you've got an SD card, that's where you can format it. You want to be careful with that one, because that can, in fact it will, erase all the data that's on your SD card. But if you've got an SD card and you want to wipe it, or if you've put it in and it's not quite working properly, you can format it and it'll make sure that it's optimised for the Orbit Player. So that's all that's in Utilities. I'm going to press the left arrow to come out of this, and we'll carry on exploring the main menu. There's only a couple more options left.
Utilities submenu, 7 of 9.
So if we go down.
Settings submenu, 8 of 9. Settings. Use the right arrow to open and left arrow to close. Help submenu, 9 of 9. Use the right arrow to open and left arrow to close.
And then you've got help. And what they've included here is very nice. So as I said, although I mentioned that about that there could be a tutorial during the setup, if you go to help, there is pretty much everything you need here. So I'm going to press the right arrow to enter that menu. You can also press OK as well. It will do the same thing.
Audio tutorial, 1 of 3.
There's some audio tutorials here.
User guide, 2 of 3.
You can view the user guide. That's directly on the player.
About, 3 of 3.
And then there's the about information as well. So the user guide will pop up in the book reader, and it will read that out to you, and you can navigate. There's really good ways of navigation, which again we'll cover in a future demo. So you can read through that. And the other option is, as you heard there, you've got the audio tutorials, which I will just play you a quick snippet of. So if I go to audio tutorials.
Audio tutorial, 1 of 3.
In this tutorial, we'll cover what's in the box when you receive your Orbit Player, and a detailed description and orientation to the player. First, congratulations on purchasing your new Orbit Player.
So that started as soon as I pressed OK on audio tutorials. So you're straight there, you're straight into it. And these are really good, really well, really nicely detailed, really well voiced. So as soon as you press OK on audio tutorials, it will start you off on part one. I just pressed OK there to pause it. And by default, it has put you on the navigation mode of tracks, which means you can press left or right arrow to go through the different tracks on here in this folder. Because what it's done, it's opened up the media player in the tutorials folder. So all the tutorials are there, and you can just flick between them with the left and right arrow. And if you want to flick through these files, I've ended up with giving you a brief tutorial of the media player here. So if you want to flick back or forward between these, like during the tutorial, if you kind of think, oh, I didn't quite catch that, and you want to go back within that file, if you press the down arrow or the up arrow, you'll cycle between the different navigation modes.
Time, 10 seconds. Time, 30 seconds. Time, 1 minute. Time, 5 minute.
So what this means is, if I was to press the left arrow or the right arrow now, I would go back or forward in 5 minute increments. Or if it was on 1 minute, it would go in 1 minute increments. 30 seconds would go in 30 second increments, etc.
Time, 10 minutes. Time, 15 minutes. Time, 30 minutes. Time, 1 hour. Track.
And then this is what we were on before. This is what it puts on by default, which is track. So if I press OK to keep playing this, this is on part one at the minute.
Hour of your Orbit Player, you'll quickly come to realize how it can serve
you. So now I'm going to press the right arrow.
And on a daily. Tutorial 2, basic operations of the Orbit Player.
Press the right arrow again.
In this Tutorial 3, Orbit Player Settings.
I'll just press OK to pause it. So that's how you can get to the audio tutorials. And as you saw, the user guide is in there as well. I could press back to get out of this and get back into the help menu, but I'm just going to press the home key.
Home, book reader, 1 of 9. Use the up and down arrows to navigate and select to activate the focused item. You can also activate a specific item by typing the number that matches its position.
And there we go, we're back to the home screen. And just finally on this one, this is something that I really, really like as well. If you know the number, so it was reading out obviously book reader, 1 of 9, braille reader, 2 of 9, media player, 3 of 9, whatever it was. If you know the number that you're looking for of the app or of the menu item, you can just press that number. So if I remember rightly, for example, internet radio is number 4. So I'm focused on book reader at the minute. Let's just double check that.
Braille book reader, 1 of 9.
Yeah, so I'm on book reader. If I just press number 4.
Internet radio, categories list, browse station selected. Use the up and down arrows to navigate. Press select to activate the focused item.
And then that's brought me straight into the internet radio. If I go back.
Home, internet radio, 4 of 9. Use the up and down arrows to navigate and select to activate the focused item. You can also activate a specific item by typing the number that matches its position.
So first off, that's taken me back to the application on the menu. It's put my focus back to the last application that I was in. Settings, for example, is number 8. So even though my focus is still on internet radio, I'll just tap 8.
Settings, general options, 1 of 10.
And there you go. We're straight into settings. So that's just a quick overview of what the device looks like and feels like, and some of the apps that you've got, and how you can get to the help information to get yourself started. And in future episodes, I'm going to cover the book player and how you can access your podcasts on here as well. So that is a quick first look at the Orbit Player. And that's all we've got time for this week. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. If you want to get in contact with us, got any questions or anything you want to share, please do. We always love to hear from you. As we always say, it's your program. So don't be shy. Get in touch. techtalk@rnib.org.uk is our email address. You can send a written email or you can attach a voice note if you want to. We'll be back with you next week. But from me, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavelkovich, Jackie Brown and Natalie Curran, bye for now.
Until next time.
Bye for now.
Bye.